Hi, y'all. My name is Noah McKenzie, and I'm finishing up my junior year at North Raleigh Christian Academy. This past basketball season, we did lead them up throughout the year, and looking back, it benefited our team in so many ways. For one, it was just always a good time with constant laughter and jokes, and one of those activities that really brought us together as a team and built our chemistry. But even more importantly for the team and for me individually, the green teammate talk really took our team to the next level. Our coach really drove that lesson home for us, and it transformed us from a collection of guys into a selfless, driven, and functioning team that was building each other up. Super stoked and looking forward to how it will benefit and mold our squad next year.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam Bradley of Lead 'Em Up, joined by Kyle Elmendorf, our Southeast Regional Coach here within Lead 'Em Up. Today, we're going to be talking about developing the farm system and digging in deep to the farm system within your program. When I use this reference of a farm system, obviously it's most commonly known in sports through minor leagues. You hear it in professional baseball all the time where they talk about their farm system. I personally am a Baltimore Orioles fan, and that's the only thing we have going for us right now is we've got the number one farm system in Major League Baseball. And it's interesting, when you go back to the history of the farm system, it was actually created by Branch Rickey, the Hall of Famer in Major League Baseball. He's famous for being part of the process and the team that signed Jackie Robinson. He also, though, with his years in the St. Louis Cardinals back in the early 1900s, he created the farm system. He's established as the one who's responsible for that. And what he did was, it was when the salaries of the major league players started getting a little too high, he began to identify that there were challenges with negotiating with these players and signing them, that he began going and looking for high school athletes to begin to recruit, to begin to develop. And he began bringing them into, quote unquote, the organization to allow this pipeline of sorts, this next man up, next girl up, right? This next player up to be ready when their time was called. And it was called a farming system because that's, in many ways, they wanted to grow. They wanted to develop. And in a similar fashion of farming, it takes time, right? You've got to nurture the crops. You've got to grow. You got to tend to them. You've got to support them. You've got to take care of them. And over time, they grow to the point where they are ready. And the farm system obviously transformed professional baseball specifically, but even in other sports, you've got these developmental leagues, these kind of breeding grounds, this developmental space. We bring up the farm system because we believe it parallels to what is needed in our programs as it relates to our leaders. We believe it's extremely important that programs are, quote unquote, developing their leadership farm systems. That although there may be a group of players that are performing now, that are leading now, that are kind of spearheading your program, the need to have that next round, that next batch, that next group of, quote unquote, crops, using the farm illustration, ready to go, ready to step in, is absolutely essential. And if we can look, if we look at our programs, Kyle, and we don't think we've got that pipeline, if we don't think we have that farm system, meaning when this group goes, i.e. when these crops go to sell, when they get released to the markets, when they go out to hit the convenience stores, if we don't have the next batch of crops, the next group of players ready to step in, we're going to be struggling. There's going to be a challenge there. In the farming world, if you don't have the next batch of crops ready to go when the other ones leave, you will not survive financially. Your family won't. Your business won't. It's a matter of life or death survival for farmers, that they always have a next round ready to go. But in programs, our culture, sustaining long-term culture, building an established program depends on the same thing. We've got to have leaders being developed so when it is their time, they are ready.
Absolutely. And with the farming reference there, kind of my background in the Midwest, you can plan, you can prepare, and you can have one bad spring and an entire season is ruined. It's devastating. If we don't have that pipeline in the works, then we get to the point where we're asked, or we feel as a staff, maybe like, well, this year we just didn't have good leaders. And hopefully in the next year, we'll have that. You know, last year we had such a great group of leaders. That's why we were so successful. Well, why don't we have them this year? There has to be an intentionality there. And one of the things that popped into my mind as you were kind of going through that is I remember being a high school athlete and going into the football coach's office. And in the office, there was the depth chart. And as players, we were always like, who's on the depth chart? Where are we at that position? And you kind of had a sense of where the team might be that next year based upon who was there. And then I envisioned the coaches would probably have a meeting where they're talking about, all right, these guys are second on the depth chart behind these seniors. When they graduate, we envision this person taking their spot. So there's probably some intentionality in the practice plans of getting those players reps to take that spot next year. At least you would hope. So why don't we do that in the same way with our leadership? We can't leave that to chance. If leadership and character are the things that most people are going to reference as being the separator, if we just look at like professional sports and the playoffs and things like that, great athletes all around. What's the separator? How tight the team is connected, the leadership, the character that's there, all of that plays a factor. So we have to develop that just as much as we do our skills and our schemes. And that has to be in the pipeline. It has to be in the farm system.
I love your reference to the depth chart, right? That's a great illustration. You know, you're looking at that depth chart, like if this person goes, who's next up, right? And then who's next up after that? And it gives you this glimpse into the future a little bit, right? This is what we've got, right? Beyond just what's on the surface there. And understand this topic is so important. And what prompted us to record this is it's front and center with the conversations we're having with coaches right now. And there is, and I'll just paint the picture, won't say names, right? But it's common. So it's not even like I'm calling one coach out or anything like it. It's common. It's all over the country where teams and programs will lean into leadership development when they sense that they are lacking it. Understandable. Makes sense. We're lacking leaders. Our culture isn't where it needs to be. So we go all in and we lean all in. We're very intentional for a period of time on our leadership development. The leadership development naturally, when done correctly, will begin to build a momentum, will begin to change mindsets, change approaches within the players and behaviors that begins to produce a change on the team and within the culture. And understandably, and hopefully it gets to a place where it's good, right? Where we look at it for all intents and purposes and we feel happy. We're pleased with how things are operating. We feel pleased with the behaviors and accountability of those leaders. And we think we're in a good spot. And the moment we think we're in a good spot, we then pull back from leadership development. We begin then focusing our time and resources onto other things because we've got that good. We've got that good in that moment, in that season, we've got it good. And then inevitably, that group of players, or if you want to stick with the farm reference, those round of crops are gone, right? They graduate, they move on, farm reference, they get sent out to the markets, to the grocery stores. Consumers begin taking them. And all of a sudden, that round is gone. And then coaches are faced with, okay, what do I have next? And they realize what they have next is not very plentiful. It's not very strong. It's not very, quote unquote, fruitful. And all of a sudden, a coach then finds themselves in this more desperate state where they're like, wow, we need leadership development. We need to start pouring in. We're going to be behind. We're going to be struggling. We need to fast forward this. We need to accelerate this. What do we got to do? And we see these moments and we hear them all the time. And you'll have to trust us on that. Cause once again, don't want to give, you know, go through individual, trust us. All of a sudden they say, hey, we need leadership development, man. We really need it. We need to lead them up, this and that, which is cool. But it takes us back to a place that you begin to ask the question, could this have been avoided? Could this desperate place that we're in could have been avoided? And I believe in large part, it absolutely could have. If we continued the process, if we never allowed these gaps in our leadership development, if we just continued pressing on, and even while things are good, we continue to develop the depth chart, the farm system, the pipeline, right? So those younger sophomores and juniors were being fed with this. Now, when those seniors leave, we know that they got it. We know that they've got it. Rather than now having to pick it back up and start from scratch and begin the process of growing, developing those individuals at this kind of final hour here.
Absolutely. And I think of a couple of things with that. Let's maybe just reference basketball and football, because that's my background in coaching. So if we're talking about that sense of we've got character and leadership at a good spot, right? We were really good at it this year, and next year we're just going to kind of put that off to the side. Well, when I think about coaching football and basketball, just because we were really good in the run game last year doesn't mean that we're not going to rep that this spring, or that this summer we're going to completely ignore the run game and we're only going to focus on the pass game. Same thing with basketball. If we are a really good defensive team, doesn't mean we're not going to teach those principles again. Doesn't mean we're not going to go over the core concepts and teach the skills, and we're just going to focus on the other side of that. You have to continually teach what you want to see. You have to continually reinforce that. So if we're about that again on the playing field, just because we don't need it necessarily as it's a glaring weakness, why not make that strength even stronger? Why not lean into that just a little bit more? If we had great leadership last year, imagine what will happen this year if it's even better. Why can't it even be any better? And, you know, there are some coaches that realize that. And to your point, what maybe we'll talk about this here just a little bit is, how do we do that with the younger players? What does that look like from a varsity head coach perspective? And how do we develop that?
Oh, this is a random question. Do you all buy a real Christmas tree or a fake one?
Growing up, we bought real ones. Now have to have the artificial one because of allergies.
Life changes because of allergies.
Always had a real one. Always had a real one.
So I think we're the same way over here. I think growing up, there was some seasons of buying real ones. I don't know, maybe it's just my OCD for cleanliness now that I'm just like, let me just get a fake one and put it up and be done with it.
But you got those real ones, your cats will get in there, man. They'll knock that tree over.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. I don't want a fire or anything like that. Anyways, I bring it up because I live right down the street from a Christmas tree farm. So I drive by it regularly. And it's a lot of acreage of trees. And I bring it up because the dynamic of Christmas tree farms is very appropriate for this theme of developing this farm system. The average Christmas tree takes 6 to 8 years to grow into maturation. So when you look at a Christmas tree farm, and I'll use the one right down the street here, they've got this tremendous amount of acreage, and it's almost broken into 8 or so sections. And you can see it from the road, and you can certainly see it when you begin to walk through. Each section is incredibly big and abundant of trees, but they're all at different stages, right? Like the ones right now near the highway there, they're like baby trees, okay? Right? Like they're really, really tiny. And every season, when it's Christmas tree season and they open it up for those 30 or 45 days to buy, they only sell one section at a time. So it's like, this is the section that's ready, right? This is the one that's at its mature state. All those other trees aren't being touched. They're not available. They're not available for this particular holiday season. We're going to come back to them later. So they sell this group, right? Those are the ones that are ready. They're going to lead this holiday season for them, right? It's the ones that they're going to operate within, and they're going to sell those trees that season. And the moment that season is done, they then replant those trees immediately.
Right.
Because they know, okay, it's part of the cycle that every 6 to 8 years, I'm going to have to come back to this section within the farm. And those will be the ones that are we're going to depend on that year. Those are the ones we're going to rely on that season 6 to 8 years from now.
Yep.
But understanding that if they were to ignore that and not plant that season because they looked around the farm and they thought, oh, we're good. You know, we're good. Look, those are almost mature. We'll be good for next year. And oh yeah, we've got those. We'll be good for next year. There will become a year in the future, 6 to 8 years from then, where there will be a season depleted. There will be a season that has nothing. They missed it because they took a year off and they didn't develop on a particular year to plant the seeds, to begin nurturing and harvesting and developing for the future. So they plant it right away. And in that illustration, that illustration plays into what we're talking about here. Recognizing, you know what, like there may be some baby trees on our team. Okay, that's okay. But we better plant those seeds and we better keep developing them and nurturing it, because there's going to be a season where those are our number ones. And if we ignore the years of development, we will eventually face a reality where we have a season with no number ones, with nothing available to sell, nothing available to lead us. We cannot let go. We cannot pull back on our leadership development when we think we've got a good batch of crops, when we think we've got a good batch of leaders in the moment. We can't think about it. It is a very short-sighted approach to coaching. It is a short-sighted approach to leadership development. We have to be as intentional in the moment as we are in the future. And our minds need to be thinking that way, right? I need to be thinking, am I strong now? Okay, great. I need to also make sure I'm strong tomorrow and the next year and the next year. It's got to be a combination. The farm system has to be ready to perform when its time is called.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, I think the most important thing of what you were saying there too, besides just the planting, is that nurturing and the development. It's one thing to plant, but if you're not fertilizing those trees or making sure those trees are being watered, you might as well not even planted it, because they're not going to ever reach the maturity of what you need. So when we think about that as relation to our sports teams, it's great. And it's obviously better than nothing to pour into maybe the varsity level players that you have in a program, or if you're a collegiate team that you're pouring into the juniors and seniors. But it can't just be something where the lower level teams get to witness it from the sidelines, and then the expectation is that they jump in and are capable right away. They have to be given those opportunities. They have to be nurtured. They have to be developed, so they have the confidence to step out and lead. Like, the repetition is going to be key. You have to give those younger players that, because it's confidence. You wouldn't do it on the playing field, so you can't do it with leadership and character as well.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, one of the teams that I work with here in Maryland, you know, we have a unique setup that we do during the offseason where it almost rotates. We go small group, full team, small group, full team, small group, full team, and we split the session. So half the time I'm meeting with this small group, the other half meeting with the full team. And it goes all the way from March all the way to August. It's a football team. And the small group is identified by the coach and selected by the coach. And it's really just based on the parameter of who has the most influence on our team. What players have influence, whether good or bad, just the players that we all know that the other players gravitate towards and tend to follow and want to emulate. And we all have those players. I was thinking about this. I don't get involved in who that selection process is because the coaches obviously know better than I do. They're around the kids more than I am. They see more. But as I was thinking about our 10 players that we have right now that they selected, and I don't know if they were intentional on this. I'm intrigued to actually ask them, but I'm happy that it's shaken out the way it has. Kyle, it's almost a complete split between literally freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors. I know for a fact we've got two seniors. I know for a fact we've got two freshmen in that group of 10. And then the rest are the other six are spread between sophomores and juniors. Mm-hmm. Once again, I don't know if they intentionally did that, but now that I'm thinking about that, I'm incredibly happy about it. Right. I'm happy that there's this age diversity here because our two seniors, by the way, are incredible. Right. When we did our one-on-ones with the other players in that influencer group, we asked the question. One of the questions in those one-on-ones was if there were two leaders you would like to lean in closer to learn more from, to kind of ask to be a mentor of yours. Every single one of them picked those two seniors. Those two seniors are special. Okay. Like it's pretty wild when unanimously everybody says, when asked the question, who would you like to have mentor you at a greater capacity? They all say the same two people. That's great. The tendency for many would look at those two seniors leading that team and say, we're in a good spot this year. We've got two dynamic first-class high school level seniors, I mean, and leaders. But here we've got the opportunity to pour into all these other, these next round of crops, these next round of players. So not only will they see firsthand what is being taught to the seniors, because they'll be experiencing also, they will begin recognizing it is their responsibility to begin following in the footsteps firsthand of these seniors that lead. It's going to be extremely dynamic. And, you know, I'm glad it is shaking out that way because I think it's, I feel confident our leadership is good for years, not good for this year. I can look at that and say, okay, we continue down this path. We are set. We are well positioned for years of success from a leadership standpoint. And that's a question we could ask coaches. Are you prepared to your point of the depth chart earlier, Kyle, right? They begin looking to see what talent they have coming behind, you know, the leaving talent. But I'm going to ask you this, coaches. How prepared are you for years of success from a leadership standpoint? How prepared are you for years of success from a leadership standpoint? Do you feel good with your leadership 2 years from now, period? Just answer that question in your head, coaches. Are you in a good spot from a leadership standpoint 2 years from now? That I mean, if you're like, I don't know, okay, then let's start pouring in.
Hey guys, this is Kayla from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. They say that you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So the question is your circle forcing you to level up? I often remind my team that they are responsible for who they allow to influence their life. Are those people contributing to their success or are they holding them back? Great leaders know when and how to edit their circle because you see, as the leader changes, the circle has to change. It doesn't mean that you're cutting people out of your life completely, but you're limiting the amount of time that you spend with them and how much influence you give them over your habits and your commitments. So my challenge for you today is that as you continue to fight for personal growth, commit to selecting the right people to influence your habits and match your hustle. Surround yourself only with people that force you to level up. Now let's jump back to the episode.
One of the things that's gotten brought up quite a bit here, we do for anyone listening that isn't familiar, we in our premium subscription, our subscribers, we do virtual sessions. And a lot of these calls lately, Adam, I've been having with coaches have been fantastic And they're wanting to know exactly the point in the question that you're bringing up is, well, how do we maybe do this with the lower levels, you know, especially, you know, in a football program? And I think not only just from the player's perspective, but I think from the coaching perspective is, what is your coaching tree going to look like? What does that look like from the leadership perspective on your staff? So an opportunity just to grow the entire program would be, let's say, you know, you're taking your team through the program and you're going through leadership sessions on a weekly basis. What about the freshmen? It's a great opportunity to delegate some authority and some responsibility to other coaches on your staff so they develop their leadership ability, because the stronger that is throughout the entire staff, it just increases buy-in. So if we're talking about like the want and the need for it on a yearly basis, if everybody's on board and pulling in the same direction, then that's going to be something that is recognized as a need. But if it's only for some, and it's only a few that are doing it or facilitating it, then it becomes more of a niche thing for a special group. But I think if we're talking about just replenishing the pipeline, not only is it needed for players, but for coaches as well. And that's the kind of the power of really enforcing this and, you know, giving opportunities to get these reps with our younger players, middle school, freshmen, on up all the way.
Yeah, that's a good call out. And I guess you've seen this just as much as I have, where what happens is when we pull back on the development intentionally, when we finally jump back in, we also find ourselves having to fast forward through it, right? We're like, we need to do a crash course. You'll hear phrases, right? We need to go all in like early. Like there'll be times where, you know, a coach will come back and say, hey, I want to do 12 sessions. Can we do a bunch early so we can get that momentum going, because we've lost it, right? We need to do a crash course, get people quote unquote up to speed quicker. Okay, you'll hear phrases like that. Up to speed quicker. What does that mean? It means they are far behind, right? They are far behind, and we need to accelerate them to get them back up to speed at a faster clip. Well, what causes them to be behind? Right? Like up to speed is a racing illustration. Get up to speed, like speed back up. Okay, why are they trailing so far behind in the first place? Is it because we neglected it? Because we ignored it? Because we didn't give it its time and attention? Coaches, this could actually be a saving grace for you, right? The best way not to get behind is to simply not allow yourself to get behind.
What happens in professional sports when they do get behind in that sense? A lot of times, what do we hear about? Well, after the game, they had a players-only meeting. Why'd you have to have a players-only meeting? Because you ignored it for so long. And it finally got to the point where it bubbled up on the surface. So if we want to avoid things like that, we have to be proactive. You know, one of the things that coaches will ask both you and I all the time is, when should we start this? Today, tomorrow, hit the ground running and be ahead. Have the momentum. When you're playing somebody else and your opponent isn't as connected as you are earlier in the season, or there's just, everyone listening to this knows that it's something that you can't really, you know, put on paper, but you can describe when you see a team walk on the court or a field and you see how connected they are. You see their body language. You see how they interact with one another. You can feel the energy. That doesn't just happen. You can't put that in on a Monday and expect that to happen on a Friday. That starts in May and June and August throughout those summer months. Like it's a constant thing, and it's constantly needing to be addressed.
Yeah. Right. And I love the way you just put that, actually, Kyle. Like this whole leadership, this whole culture development that comes from a result of great leaders, this isn't something you put in on Monday and you see executed on Friday. No. It doesn't work like that. And, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to you. You came up with this really great kind of breakdown for us within Lead 'Em Up about the four I's of growth. And, you know, it kind of plays into the mastery hierarchy that a lot of people are familiar with, right? Where you start out as an amateur or novice and you end up working your way through stages to the point of mastery, mm-hmm. right? Well, within Lead 'Em Up, you've kind of broken it down with And if you're okay, I'll go through it, Kyle.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Almost these four levels of growth through the Lead 'Em Up program of understanding it. And it starts with introduction, right? They've got to be introduced to the concepts, introduced to the approach from a Lead 'Em Up leadership standpoint. It's that introduction. All young people at some point are going to get introduced to these concepts, to these activities, to these mindsets, the way they need to behave, things of that nature. After that, they then move to a place of intention, right? Where they become slightly more intentional with putting into practice, leaning in, trying to absorb it, take it in, processing it in their mind, right? This slight increase of intentionality happens after the introduction occurs. From there, it then moves to a place of initiative where you begin to see them acting out publicly and outwardly some of the leadership behaviors and character traits and actions that are being instilled in them, whether it's relationally or accountability or the discipline or the communication, things of that nature. You begin to see this initiative, them acting out on it, and it's ultimately going to land in a place of installation, what we call instilled, right? The fourth I. So introduction, intention, initiative, instill. And when we say instill, if you look at the definition, it means to firmly establish in one's mind and heart. It's instilled. It is established. It then begins to play into what we've referenced many times as the lifestyle, right? If you follow us on social, you've heard that phrase, leadership is a lifestyle, right? It begins to get to that level when it is instilled in us. It is firmly established in our minds and our hearts. And because of that firmly established place, it begins to show up in all that we do and how that we act. And it truly has transformed you as a leader to begin thinking and acting and speaking and showing up like a leader. That's at that fourth level. That mature level. But there are three levels before that. Mm-hmm. It is going to be very challenging, close to impossible, that if to try to think we're going to get athletes through all four stages of this in this short 6-month period of time, because you know what? Oh, I haven't been doing my leadership development. Oh, I better do it. All right, when should I do it? All right, I'm going to start a couple months before a season and hope in that little group there, right, I'm going to create this major transformation in that short period of time. Yes, yeah. You'll see improvements. Yes, you'll see growth, right? But you're not going to see that foundational transformation, that ongoing, because by the time, let's say your basketball program, season starts end of October, early November, you begin to say, okay, you know what? I've been neglecting my leadership development. And I need to get into it. And you begin to roll it out in September, right? You're like, I got to get it going. I'm going to get a little bit in the preseason leading up. By the time you get players to that final stage that instilled in them, there's a good chance your season will be over.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not saying you don't do that in September. You absolutely do, because it's needed and it's going to help you. But what I am saying, when your season ends in February, you can't stop. You can't stop, right? Because if you now are positioned to be that much closer to having it instilled in all those other players. So if you've got a group of 12 basketball players and you got four seniors, four juniors, four sophomores, just hypothetically speaking, by the end of that, those four seniors, it may be instilled. You may be close to it, you know, depending on how well you taught and how frequently. But there's a good chance they're probably going to be somewhere in the intention, right? Trying to lean in and learn more about it. And then the initiative, trying to put it into practice. They're going to be more into that stage, those seniors will. But so will the juniors and so will the sophomores. They'll probably be in that stage of initiative and intention. Mm-hmm. Well, great. You know what that tells me? That those juniors and sophomores are that much closer to being instilled, to having it firmly established. So if you then were to pull back at that point because you felt like, all right, you know what, we're in a good place. You now have taken these group of players that are close to being absolutely transformational leaders on your team. Right. You now stop that momentum and allow them now to drift back down into a place where they will have to be reintroduced to this stuff in the future. Okay. So you don't want to miss that opportunity. You've got people that are close to having that become that transformative leadership. If you pull back now, you have lost the momentum. You have labored in vain in many cases because what you have done is now going to be pulled back. It's going to be lost. These four stages take time, and every player is going to be at a different place on these stages. Which is why, like the Christmas tree thing, right? It's why you got to keep nurturing, right? You've got eight sections. You're not selling all, you're not relying on eight sections today of the tree farm. You're only relying on one per se or two that's going to drive your season. It's going to make you your quote unquote money, right? But you still, you can't ignore the others. You still have to be intentional in the farming of those because their time will come. And if you're a tree farmer and you ignored all those other trees and it's Christmas tree, let me tell you what you're Googling. You're Googling random things like how to accelerate growth in Christmas trees, right? Like are there Christmas tree steroids that I can buy on the open market? Because I've got a Christmas tree season coming in 3 months and I don't have the trees ready. And I got to get them ready. This is what coaches are doing. I don't have the Christmas trees ready and I need to get them ready. So I'm going to pump them in the roots with all this stuff and I'm going to create fake sun and I'm going to have to water them extra to try to accelerate the process because I ignored it. I neglected it. And now I'm struggling. Develop the farm system.
Yeah, we can't let it atrophy. I mean, it's the same thing with anything. If you ignore something, it's going to atrophy. It's not going to be there. And then you ramp it up. It doesn't have that effect. I mean, I just keep going back in my mind when we're talking about this is if we just mimic the cycle that we see in a normal sports year and did the same thing with our leadership and our character as we did with the on the field and on the court stuff, we would go to places that we dream about and we talk about. And not only that, but we would sustain it rather than falling off. So once the season's over, it's not like we're not trying to get better the next year. We're, you know, these sports teams, they have their off-season program, they have free agency, they have drafts, they have their team conditioning period, they have their individual time. All of that is very intentional to get better. And when you're talking about the different stages that we talked about, the four eyes, one of the things that jumped out to me is when we think about players professionally, when they make a big jump, because it's pretty rare where you really have a legitimate rookie that comes in and is just setting the league on fire. It's pretty rare. Same thing in our settings with high school and collegiate sports. Most of the time when players make their big jump, it's somewhere around year two or year three. But that happens because in year one and year two, they were developed. They were poured into, they weren't ignored, they were given reps. And then they're set up for success. And that's what we got to do. We just got to set people up for success and give them those opportunities early and often.
Man, I'm fired up today. Today's episode has got me going. Coaches, I hope today's episode reminded you and maybe even provided some pushing and some nudging in a certain direction or possibly even convicting you to the sense of like, you know what, I need to be more intentional. I am guilty of pulling back when I feel like we're good. Understandable, right? We respond to our most urgent needs as coaches oftentimes. Maybe in that need, maybe in that moment, the need isn't leadership. Okay, but we, as leaders of our organization, we have to be leading our teams with a dual perspective, one that is focused on the now and one that's focused on the future. Like, that's just how it has to be. That's the mindset of a leader. I'm going to be all in now, but I can't ignore the future, right? I've got to be developing while I'm creating. Kyle, you were going to say something.
I just wanted to give two special shout outs to a couple of our coaches, because when you're talking about getting fired up, what these guys are doing fires me up and just gives us momentum. And one, a Missouri coach, Malik Radigan at Francis House Central right now is getting 70 plus kids at 6 a.m. morning leadership sessions in the spring, pouring into these kids, developing at a younger age.
At six in the morning.
6 in the morning, 75 kids. Adam, a guy that's...
And coaches are in there too.
Absolutely, yeah, six coaches. A coach this week I met with John Adkins from Mahomet, Illinois. Saw you at Glacier Clinic. His program went 11-1 last year. They have 97 kids in the program. They have 36 newcomers to the program this year. John and I sat on a call for an hour and a half the other day talking about how we can get these guys up and get them reps and how he can get better and how the team can get better with their leadership. These coaches fire me up because they're about getting better. They're not complacent where they're at, and they recognize the need to have the pipeline and the farm system there for their teams. And I'm excited to just watch them grow and to see this play out of what we're talking about, then putting it into action.
I love that shout out. I'll give a shout out just because it falls in line with the theme there about continuing to push even when things are good. John Kelly, Quince Orchard High School here in Montgomery, here in Maryland. They won the state championships in the highest division of Maryland last year. Their football program did. They've won two out of the last three state championships. For all intents and purposes, they're at the top. They're at the top.
That's pretty dang good.
They're at the top, right? And this year, coach said, I want to go from 15 sessions during the offseason to 18. And we started March 1st, beginning their offseason program, and it goes all the way from March to August. They just won the state championship. They're good. I'm going to tell you right now that they're seniors. They've got some incredible leaders in their senior class right now. Doesn't matter. You got to be thinking as much about this upcoming season as you do the season after, the season after. If you ever wonder why some of those programs is year after year always produce, year after year always produce. We know those programs. We look at them. We see them from a distance. We're like, man, it's just unbelievable. Year after year, they're always producing because they are thinking about the next year while they're in the current year. Right? Yeah. They're not just taking this closed-minded, short-sighted approach. I got to win today. I got to do – no. There's a hybrid there. I'm going to do everything I can right now to be the best while also doing everything I can right now to develop for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it builds this long, sustaining success. So,
yep.
And there's many other coaches. I mean, we could have gone on. Tons of coaches. And actually, I think we need to do a better job of that in future episodes, just celebrating some of the coaches and teachers and programs that are utilizing the program, doing great jobs because there's so many of them. And it's fun getting tagged on social and seeing it and text messages with the coaches and seeing all the success. And we're here to support. We're here to do everything we can on our end to help you develop those people into the leaders needed to win. And we're passionate about it, and we appreciate just your support. We've got a lot of big things and exciting things coming down the pipeline, some new enhancements to the program and a variety of different new exercises and such. So we're excited about the momentum and just the fact that kids are buying in to lead them up. That I really think we, together with the coaches around the country, just helping fuel it, like, kids are looking at Lead 'Em Up as a brand per se. That's cool. Like, I like, they lean into it. As a result, they like want to do it. They want to get better through it. They want to be green, like these types of things. And that's special, and it's awesome. It's awesome for us, but it's also awesome for the coaches and teachers that use the program. Cause you know, I think as we keep building the momentum, it's just allowing you to tap into this topic of leadership development easier because your kids are going to embrace it a little bit better. They're going to want it. They're going to be willing to do it. They're going to be willing to get up at 6 a.m. on a Thursday.
100%. Right?
Because it feels different. They're not getting up at 6 a.m. for some dry, vanilla, boring, old school PowerPoint lecture leadership program. It's got to be a little different and I think collectively all around the country, we're all helping make it a little different through Lead 'Em Up. So, Kyle, appreciate you as always. Coaches, remember, develop the farm system. Be focused on today. At the same time, focus on tomorrow. Till next time, I'm Adam and Kyle. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, we're so thankful for you. Have fun and lead 'em up.
We want to take a moment and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for partnering with us on the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Chick-fil-A is mostly well known for their incredible original chicken sandwich and those amazing waffle potato fries. But what people might not understand is there is a lot more going on behind the counter. You see, every Chick-fil-A is individually owned and operated by someone who deeply cares for their community and for their team. So next time you get an urge to go buy a Chick-fil-A, remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. We are thankful to Chick-fil-A and thankful for you for listening. So until next time, have fun and lead them up.